97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
What a beautiful start to our Friday morning. The sun is up. We're going to be high in the 80s. It's going to be a fantastic day. I'm Kim St. Ange. I'm filling in for Mark Cox. He'll be gone today, and then he'll be gone Monday. He'll be joining us on Tuesday. So in the meantime, Scott Jagow, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Filling in for me. I might be the only one who didn't get my butt out of bed and go look at the Northern Lights. I looked at social media this morning, and I apparently missed it because everyone was posting these really cool time-lapse videos.
What time was it?
Was it like 10? I don't know.
I was at 21 Pilots.
That's right. You didn't have to work that one.
I couldn't go outside.
I feel like usually they're like 10 o'clock, and maybe that's why I'm already in bed and hopefully asleep by that time. But I mean, we were even talking earlier, Scott, that a lot of these, you can't see it from your naked eye. You have to actually hold your phone up, and then your phone will capture the light.
Yeah, that's true. But the photos I've seen online from this morning, and that includes here in the U.S., also in the U.K., they're really beautiful. I mean, it is something to behold.
I know. I need to, next time that it happens, I need to actually take note of it and get out and see it. But you know, I almost feel guilty when we have such beautiful weather like we have right now in the St. Louis area. And then you think of the millions of people, not just in Florida, of course, where Hurricane Milton hit and they're trying to clean up from that. But then, of course, the Carolinas, at Tennessee. I mean, so many people are affected right now. 2.5 million or some odd people in Florida don't have electricity this morning. And I'm sure plenty of people in the Carolinas still don't have power.
Yeah, it's really rough. And I used to live in North Carolina, so I know the mountains well. And I know that that area has no capacity to handle this amount of water. I mean, it is rough terrain. It's mountainous. So the fact that a hurricane hit there is very unusual. And the amount of water that was, you know, as a part of that storm was unbelievable.
And we keep getting different stories about FEMA. Do they have enough money? Do they not? Because you had Alejandro Mayorkas saying, no, we don't. Then somebody else came out and did damage control saying, yes, we do. Then Biden comes out speaking yesterday during a press briefing and says Congress needs to come back because we need to allocate more money to make sure that we don't run out. So it's so odd. I feel like we're getting mixed messages from the Biden administration. Is there enough money to cover these? What if there's another hurricane? Will there be enough money to cover that? Any sort of natural disaster, not just a hurricane.
Well, forecasters are saying we're not done yet with the hurricane season.
Well, I was going to say, doesn't hurricane season start in October? So this is still the beginning of it? Or maybe it's September?
September is really the peak, the big month, traditionally. Now, we're into October, and obviously we're having storms, and it usually runs till November. But this season seems a little late in terms of the storms that are happening. And obviously the last two have been, you know, wallopers.
Right.
So, and I hear that there might be another one still coming.
I hope not.
I hope not either.
Actually, coming up in the next segment, we have bonus Griff Jenkins from Fox News. He's going to give us an update because he's been in the Carolinas with all the people trying to clean up there. At the bottom of the hour, of course, it's Friday. That means Ryan Wiggins will be joining us right now. Carl, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Today I am also announcing that as part of our tax cuts, we will make interest on car loans fully deductible.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? That, of course, Trump, he was speaking in Detroit yesterday. I would love to have the interest on my car loan fully deductible. It's already fully deductible on the interest we pay on our homes. At that same speech, he also said that the biggest threat to democracy is stupid people.
Harrison, you have a lot going on. Why'd you hit the trail with Hawley? I mean, he's a good guy, but why?
Well, it's the bye week, so I have some time. We decided to stay. And
I was already a fan of the Chiefs kicker, Harrison Butker. Now he's got a sense of humor. He was out campaigning across the state yesterday with Senator Josh Hawley. In fact, he made a stop in Cottleville yesterday afternoon.
She has no role in this process. And I've been dealing with these storms in Florida under both Trump and Biden. Neither of them ever politicized it.
You go Ron DeSantis calling out Kamala Harris, who has been quick to say that he's politicizing it. She's the one who's come out trying to say, oh, I've done so much. I've been talking to the Republicans and the Democrats, and I've been so helpful. DeSantis is like, no, Joe Biden has been helpful. You have not.
Their vote, no matter what state they're in, matters.
So that's something that you and Vice President Harris disagree on?
I have spoken about it in the past, that she's been very clear on this, and the campaign, and my position is the campaign's position.
Well, there you have it. That was ABC's Michael Strahan questioning Tim Walz on that comment he made earlier this week about, we should just get rid of the Electoral College. Eek. Well, Kamala's campaign comes right out that night, that same day, and is like, no, that's not our stance on things. So I didn't listen to the whole interview between Strahan and Walz, but I did at least appreciate that he's like, so you disagree on that with Kamala? Because we clearly are getting mixed messages from them. They must not be communicating about their stance on certain things here, because there's been a couple instances of that.
Yeah, and I wonder what the motive is for Walz to come out and say that. I mean, honestly, the Democrats generally win the popular vote in the last few elections, so it would be to their advantage if we didn't have the Electoral College. But the fact that they don't agree on this is really interesting.
Right, right. And what he said, kind of, I use the term word salad. It was kind of word salad. He was like, well, my campaign and her campaign and policy. He just said a lot of words that he finished talking and you're like, I'm sorry, what did you just say? And I feel that way a lot when Kamala opens her mouth. And there's a funny video that you should see, because it doesn't really have the same impact if I just play it for you on the radio. You need to watch it. So Kamala Harris speaks. She does this Univision town hall yesterday, okay, taking questions from the audience. And there's this shot where you see the camera panning from, it's like, look at her vantage point looking into the audience, and you see it, the teleprompter on. So now everyone's saying, seriously, Kamala Harris used a teleprompter for a town hall meeting? Because in the middle of the camera shot, all of a sudden the teleprompter shuts down, goes black. Now, I don't know, maybe there was a teleprompter for a reporter who introduced her. I don't know, but it is a little weird. And let's be honest with ourselves. Would you put it past Kamala Harris for saying, I have to have a teleprompter for a town hall meeting?
I wouldn't.
No, you've heard what happens when she has her teleprompter go out. She's like 32 days. She just kept repeating the number 32. Well, now you even have President Obama, former President Obama, who's saying that black men, they're just not that excited about Kamala Harris. He was speaking to him yesterday when he was out campaigning for her in Pittsburgh. And he's like, look, guys, we got to vote for her because she understands the struggles and the pain and the joy that comes from those experiences of being black. That was a direct quote, by the way. He says, it's just, there's not as much excitement among the black community as there was when I was running for president. So even Obama, you could say, is acknowledging that Kamala Harris's campaign might be losing a little bit of steam. All right. When we come back, I said bonus Griff. Griff Jenkins from Fox News, one of our favorites. Normally we talk to him on Thursday. We get to talk to him on Friday. He has been working really hard trying to cover all the relief efforts going on after these devastating hurricanes. Again, we're going to catch up with him when we come back from the commercial. But in the meantime, I'm Kim Sainange, filling in for Mark Cox.
On FEMA funding, how much time does Congress have to act before FEMA or the SBA run out of money?
That's in discussion now. I don't want to mislead you. I think in terms of the SBA, it's pretty right at the edge right now. And I think the Congress should be coming back and moving on the emergency needs immediately. And they're going to have to come back after the election as well, because this is going to be a long haul for total rebuilding. It's going to take several billion dollars. It's not going to be a matter of just a little bit.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
And we are lucky on this Friday morning that we get bonus Griff, that we get to chat with you here. I mean, you have been all over the place, right, covering the hurricane relief efforts. Where are you right now?
Kim, I am back in D.C., and I apologize I missed you yesterday because they raced me back. You know, it's like I've been in this whirlwind of a news cycle and calling in from everywhere with you guys the last couple of weeks, and it continues today. They had to get me back, and I'm covering this TD Bank story, which is bonkers. We can talk about that in a minute. But and then I'm headed to New York shortly in a few hours. But I was down in that hurricane, as you saw, and I called in and talked to you guys a little bit about North Carolina. And while it appears, at least in this early assessment, that Florida fared really well, considering how bad of a storm it was. The problems in North Carolina, particularly in the western counties, there's 13 of them most affected. That's not getting any better necessarily anytime soon. A, because of the challenge of the mountain terrain. And I think I showed, you know, our viewers a lot of it going up in the helicopters, and you could see these communities that have been cut off from civilization. Getting power and getting running water back there is going to be a weeks, if not months problem, not like a couple of days where you can really bring in heavy equipment. And even with government, FEMA and military support, it's a daunting challenge, and it's going to take a long time to get fixed.
Well, I know the number one concern is saving lives, obviously, but I have to point out again, I mean, I can't help but think we're, what, 20-some-odd days away from the election. What kind of impact will this potentially have?
Awesome question, Kim, and a huge one, because, look, you've got these 13 western counties that were most affected. The North Carolina State Board of Elections passed this emergency measure to give them broader authority to do things like change the location side of their early voting, which starts on this coming next Thursday.
Wow.
So we're days away from early voting starting. And they've got polling sites, and then they've got staffing shortage concerns, because a lot of the election workers may have had their house destroyed, or it was damaged, or they don't have power or water. So they live with, you know, their aunt right now in Atlanta or Charlotte or something else. And so they're not around to do it. So early voting is going to be the immediate challenge. And then the election, just a month away, you know, we're talking about a significant impact in an area where Trump heavily relied in 2020 on Western North Carolina. In fact, statewide, Trump only won by 1.3%, or just over 74,000 votes. And this is an area that was heavily Trump country. And so it's going to be interesting. The other challenge I've got, by the way, is getting ballots, absentee ballots, in the hands of some of these voters if they want to do absentee because they're somewhere else. And they did modify the rules on, you know, if you're in another city or another place, because you can't go home, you can get your absentee ballot there. But I think it's going to be a story we're talking about for a while, particularly if the election comes down to North Carolina.
And I've heard different stories about, is there enough money from FEMA? But you have Mayorkas saying no. Then they do damage control and say, no, there is enough money. And then even Biden comes out yesterday and says, we need Congress to come back. As you just heard in that soundbite we played, they need more money.
There's just an incredible confusion and complication in the country in sort of understanding what it is that Mayorkas is saying and what the administration's saying about whether or not they've got enough money, and just trying to explain to people the different streams of money and where money comes from, when we heard at the beginning of the season you got plenty of money and now they don't have enough. And the you know, typical challenge in Washington, it's actually pretty complicated as to why Biden can't really recall Congress to address it. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, wait a minute, we're not going to do this and write this blank check. But at the same time, you know, the president can technically call lawmakers back to Washington if he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to have basically both the House and the Senate in their, you know, full posture to do things. So they have to be technically sort of in session.
Right.
And so, like, everybody's got to come back.
Right. And that's going to be a tough sell to get everyone to come back.
Right.
We have like a minute left, but you said the story you're covering today is bonkers. Give us a quick preview.
Yeah, you may have seen this, and you're going to hear more about it today. TD Bank, which is the 10th largest bank in the country, for the first time in U.S. history yesterday, pled guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering. The DOJ, AG Garland, says drug cartels in Mexico, China, and Colombia were laundering hundreds of millions from fentanyl, with bank employees totally aware of what was happening, but doing nothing about it. They're getting a $3 billion fine. The bank CEO says they're cooperating. People are starting to get prosecuted, but this is just unthinkable that for the past 6 years, the 10th largest bank in the country wasn't monitoring more than 92%, or to the tune of $18 trillion worth of customer activity. In the indictment you can read on the DOJ's website, there was literally case after case of piles of cash being dumped on bank counters for deposit, and no one said, hang on, wait a minute.
Jeez, what a mess. And you have to wonder, where else is that going on that hasn't been exposed yet?
You got that right. Great job, Kim. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Griff. You're the best. Have a great weekend. We'll look for you on Big Fox.
Thank you. See ya.
Griff Jenkins, Fox News. One of our favorites, I would say. We love bonus Griff. When we get him on a day we're not expecting it, we love it. That's what we call it, bonus Griff. All right. Ryan Wiggins joins us here in the studio when we come back.
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
Ryan Wiggins, how are you?
I'm great. Listening to you on the way in. Doing a good job.
Thank you.
Listening to Griff Jenkins.
We love bonus Griff. We love Griff.
Yeah.
Every time we get him when we don't expect it, we always make sure to call it bonus Griff.
It's great. Yeah, we're actually doing some bonus content today too, because Annie's off, so we'll have a little bit different feeling show. I'm not sure why all the main hosts decided today was the day, but today's the day.
And Monday too.
Monday's Columbus Day. So I think the long weekend may be part of that.
Do we get
I was working. I don't know about you
no,
guys.
We don't get Columbus Day, but all of our kids are off.
Right.
And, you know, so a lot of people are taking
off. Well, I'm going to demand that we get Arbor Day off.
But
that's
a really
big holiday for me.
As a company, we get Veterans Day off.
Yes.
Which is good, because we're going to... Are we allowed to say yet what we're doing the day before Veterans Day?
What are we doing before Veterans
Day? Yeah, you tell me.
I was going to say, I don't think I'm up on this.
Then maybe I shouldn't say anything else.
Yeah, apparently you have some insider knowledge that even the people inside the company don't know.
Anyway.
We're doing this a little bit backwards, because we usually start with some like really good content, and then we kind of filter into the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this backwards. I'm telling you ahead of time, then we're going to start with a little bit of the jokes.
I appreciate the heads up.
Yeah, so to get ready to...
Get ready to laugh,
get
folks.
Get ready to laugh. Get ready to bust aside.
Get ready for your belly to ache from all that laughing.
Well, this weekend on Wiggins America, I'm having in my normal couple co-hosts. Trisha's back.
Yes,
so she's coming back. And Old Roy is going to come back. The
Yay.
Main question I'm going to ask them, and I can ask you guys this, but I don't want to put you guys on the spot. Are you worried, or I guess more like how worried, scale of 1 to 10, are you guys, Kim, Carl, Scott, about showing up on the P. Diddy tapes once they come out? Because for me...
Carl?
It's like a zero. But I don't want to assume about anybody.
I'd go one.
One?
Really? That's low.
It is low, but then again, you could be... He could have come to Enterprise Center, or Scott Trade Center, or Savas Center, or Kiel Center anytime, and I could have been walking down the hall.
Oh, you didn't go to his parties, where apparently naked women would walk around with children?
I don't own a white suit, sorry.
Oh, shoot. Then yeah, you would not have been able to go to one of those.
So the only connection I can find between myself and those tapes would be that I met one of the Backstreet Boys at a golf course once.
Ooh.
But I don't think there were cameras. I don't think there was anything. And I don't really even associate the Backstreet Boys with those parties. I'm just saying that's as close as I've
person.
Got. Yeah, a famous person. So we're going to really dive into that this weekend. You really don't want to miss Wiggins America.
Starting out strong, Ryan.
Thank you very much.
My belly is already starting to hurting.
Good.
To hurt from the laughing.
You know, it's a Friday. You to open it with a little material, see how it's going.
Kim didn't give a number yet.
Yeah, right. I told her she doesn't have to
I'm
say
I'm at like
anything.
A strong like 0.5.
0.5. Scott just smiled and didn't say anything either. So
I did live in L.A., so
oh,
I
really?
Met a few stars in my time. I don't remember if anyone was on camera. I doubt it.
You don't remember.
I don't remember.
You don't know
but if
these
the tape
days.
Comes out,
I'll remember
you'll
when
remember
the tape
then.
Comes out.
I'm going to watch the tape. That's Scott Jagow.
Yeah, now, see, Kim, you were on TV in several markets. There could have been...
And I interviewed some celebrities, too. So
for real, though, I am concerned that this is going to be another... Epstein, where there's all this illegal activity, all these powerful people. I'm not saying anything nobody's not thought already. But we're, what, a few weeks into this, and nothing has happened. And so you're going, is anything going to happen? We had Will Scharf on, on the Annie Fry Show about 2 weeks ago. And first of all, that dude is well-versed in rap. Like, he knows way more about East Coast, West Coast, because he grew up on the East Coast during the 90s. And I was asking him, though, how will we know if they're basically trying to package this up before an election? Because, hey, if Trump comes in, it's going to be a new DOJ. You know, it might be completely different, and they would prosecute this differently. So are they trying to get ahead of it, get this whole thing done, and get it in the rearview mirror before anything changes? And I asked that of Will, and he said, well, here's the one thing you want to watch for to see if that's going to happen. Is there a plea deal being manufactured between the government and P. Diddy's attorneys? And he said, so far at that point, the answer was no. And by reading the attorneys' comments and statements and public you know, comments and things, he said, no, that does not look like what's going to happen. So I don't really know where this is going to stand, because obviously very, very powerful, influential people are apparently all over these tapes.
From different industries, too. I don't think this is just going to be artists. I think this is going to be actors and actresses. Politicians, I think, are going to be in on that. I mean, you've even heard the princes. Why am I blinking on his name?
Not Prince Andrew.
Prince Andrew?
Not Prince Andrew.
Oh, Harry
I'm sorry.
And William.
Thank you. I'm thinking, I've even heard their names tossed out, right?
Oh, I haven't heard their names.
I have.
I hesitate.
I thought NBA stars were even among the people who were at these parties, potentially. Was it LeBron?
It was.
I got this.
See,
LeBron James.
LeBron James.
There we go. Thank you.
but like that week that it was really breaking, and nothing's happened since, you know, again, that was another, we had Tyrus on, and he mentioned that the head of Warner Brothers had stepped down, and all these things that you're like, hey, could be coincidental.
Or maybe not.
But you're right, heads of industry, celebrities in every, you know, facet, musicians, politicians, whoever, is all has a lot. There's probably a lot more Hollywood in this than with Epstein.
Yeah.
So you're talking about different worlds, but there's probably a lot of crossover.
Oh, there's probably some overlap that had connections with both of those people.
Freaks.
For sure.
Now,
so,
Ryan, you mentioned something that Will Scharf knows a lot about, rap. Kim, tell everyone about your college course you took.
Well, I signed up for an English class, and I didn't read the description of the class, and it was the history of hip hop. So we would read, you know, lyrics from like Biggie and Tupac and Salt and Peppa. You have to say Peppa.
You got to say Peppa.
Missy Elliott. And we would like talk about how it was poetic and all of the things. And I learned a lot. I didn't know about the Biggie and Tupac drama. And that was where I learned it.
Would you say
like a cool course?
Would you say that you learned a lot? Really?
Well, let me just say this. I learned a lot. I remember very little.
Okay.
But that is school in general for me. In fact, I asked my parents, I said, can we go over some just history? Because back in school, I didn't really care about it. And so when you don't care about something, you tend to not really want to even try to remember it. Well, now I really care about it. And I'm saddened that I remember so little of it. So we've been going over basic stuff, just making sure that I'm fresh up on it.
I was in a class like that about pop culture when I was in college. And this was 2001.
Was this after your basket weaving class or before?
No, I had a badminton class.
Oh,
I never did
okay.
Basket weaving, but I did do badminton. That was a pretty fun class. But the pop culture class, I remember being in that and going, this is a worthless class, and my parents are paying for this.
I was going to say, how many hundreds of dollars did you spend on that
and
class?
Here's why I remember how worthless that was. On 9/11/2001, the day we all watched it happen in the morning, all of my classes got canceled except for pop culture.
Oh my gosh.
And because it was up to that day, it was up to the teachers.
So did you just watch the coverage of it, or did you just business as usual?
Well, that's what I didn't understand, is that if all of the rest of the classes, it was entire that day, there was no like mandate from the dean or anything. It was just people deciding, are we going to do class today? Mm-hmm. The professors. And
if I cancel this class, the terrorists win.
Well, not the pop culture class apparently said that, because the rest of them said, no, we need to take some time here, which I totally understand.
Yeah.
But that class, we walk in and I'm like, okay, what's this going to be? Are we really going to, are we going to talk about what's going on? Because I figured, hey, if it's pop culture, that would be at least like current events. Clearly a big thing on everybody's mind. We're all talking about it. Nope. She just taught about Aerosmith.
Oh, my gosh.
Or whatever it was.
Wow.
And it was nothing.
How
she just completely avoided it.
That
yeah. Liv Tyler thought her dad was Todd Rundgren forever, and then found out that it was actually Steven Tyler.
That's awful.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You didn't learn that in the class?
Pop culture class?
Well, we only studied Aerosmith. We didn't study Liv Tyler.
can I vent about a college classes here for a second? Remember those big lectures you'd go to and to take attendance, they do the clickers? Did you guys ever have those?
No.
Okay, well, I'll just tell you. You did have a clicker, and that was the way you signed in. And
was
so
that
a
Mizzou thing?
I don't think so. I bet you a lot of people did that at different universities. But anyway, what they would do is sometimes they would take it right when you walked into class. So at the start of it, you had to be sitting in there to be able to click that you were there. Well, sometimes they would do it, you know, 20 minutes into the class. So it was a complete toss-up.
Because the TA wasn't there yet.
Well, probably that, but it was a complete toss-up. I remember my sister and I had a biological anthropology class. What a terrible class. And we'd get so irritated because we'd be racing to class at 8 a.m. and then he would, you know, take it 20 minutes in. So all those people who, you know, drag their butts in from probably coming directly from the bars, they would somehow be counted.
So you're anyway, rewarding bad behavior.
Yeah, I just felt the need to share that because
yeah,
clearly I'm still bitter
about
it.
It was random. So
no, every day they took it, but it was random about the time. I mean, they would usually take it right at the start of class, but then there'd be every now and then they would do it, you know, 20, 30 minutes in.
That's random.
The whole point is you should be to class on time. I get that.
Yes.
But it was frustrating.
I've gotten the okay from Trisha. We can say that 97.1 will be Sunday, November 10th at 1 o'clock in Florissant. We are going to be in the Veterans Day Parade in cars provided by Weber Chevrolet.
Okay. I did know about that. I did not know that's what you were talking about.
And Mark Cox is going to be the MC for the events that day.
All right.
I didn't know that part.
Well, you're actually leading the parade. You didn't know that that was your role?
Oh, I lead every parade.
You're dressing up.
If I ever see a parade, I just walk in front of it with a baton.
You get to do the same thing.
Can
you do baton twirling? I would love to see that, Ryan.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
With flames, maybe?
I can do three at a time. 1 foot, I hop. I do it with both arms and 1 foot.
You are fantastic. Are you sticking around with us?
I can.
One more segment. We'll be right back on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Mr. President Trump, former President Trump, get a life, man. Help these people.
Will you hold them accountable? You said you were going to hold those accountable.
Public will hold them accountable. You better, the press hold them accountable because you know the truth.
What a joke. Biden trying to say that Trump's not done enough to help the people who have been impacted from Hurricane Helene and now Hurricane Milton. Trump is housing some 200 linemen in one of his hotels. He started a GoFundMe page that raised millions of dollars. And then he goes on to say, well, you better fact check him, the public. Here's the difference. When something like that happens, like a natural disaster, like one of these hurricanes, the government, people should be able to depend on the government, and that's what they can't do. That's the problem. But the difference is that the Democrats want people to depend on the government all the time for everything because that means more control, right? I mean, and you've, Ryan, found some really interesting information about what the difference in the control the government is trying to get people to...
Yeah,
this is
all data-driven stuff. So this is research from Washington, D.C.-based investment firm EIG Partners. They conducted the study, and they've looked at the last, what, 5 decades? They said that back in the 70s. So they looked at the way that really, to me, this is the way culture has changed as much as anything, because we have begun to think of the government differently. Back in the 70s, they say that only, let me find the actual numbers here, only 8% of everybody in the country's total personal income could be traced to anything that had to do with government handouts. And that there's been such a sea change in the way that that's happened. And I'll give you this stat, and it won't sound like it's huge, but let me go on to give you the where it really looks big, is that now it's more than doubled. That now about 18% of our overall U.S. personal income is traced to the government. Now, you may say, well, that's double, that's a lot, but I would have thought at 18%, it could be even higher. Well, if you look at the amount of people, now this is where it really becomes something, is it's not just, 8 to 18%, it's the amount of people who receive at least 25% of their income has gone from 0.7% in the 1970s. 0.7% of all Americans were receiving a quarter of their income from the government then. Now, 67% of Americans receive at least a quarter of their income from the government in one way or another, whether that's health care or welfare or food stamps or whatever. So all these things together have caused this massive cultural change. You've got kids. How old is your kid?
He's 20 months.
20 months. So he's not talking to you about politics yet.
No, a little bit. Yeah, he's been pretty opinionated about Kamala, but other than that, not really.
So mine are 10 and 7, and they're asking me questions that a 10-year-old, 7-year-old would start to ask about the world. And they're asking about Trump and Kamala. Who are we voting for?
Does your child ask you why was she born in a middle class, raised in a middle class family?
No, they haven't said that yet. No, they haven't caught that talking point yet. But they ask me these questions, and I'm like, well, how do I make this very, very simple? Because I don't want them out there like saying things that are so far above them that they don't even know what they're talking about.
Right.
So I and they do talk to their friends and their teachers, and I'm like, let's keep this simple. Where does your source come from? Like, what is your source?
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them, we're more conservative in that we believe that people are the source of their own production and God is our ultimate source.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, when you're conservative, you at least think that the government's not in charge of providing for you. When you are more liberal, you think that the government should be providing for not only you, but for a lot of people financially. And that's the most basic thing I could explain to them. And these numbers I found after talking to them about it, I'm like, man, that's a great example of the way our culture has moved from being more conservative, that whole mindset,
mm-hmm.
to now the government kind of is your God, your daddy.
And again, that's the way that they want it because that gives them ultimately more control. That's why the Biden administration wants to say, we're going to forgive all your student loans. Vote for us. We're going to make your life easier. We're going to pay for all your stuff. All right, that's going to do it for us. Of course, you can catch the Annie Fry Show with Ryan Wiggins coming up. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.